Praise God. All the kiddos are dismissed. I don't know if there is any kiddos left. Okay. Praise God. You guys believe it or not, but this is week six of God's purpose on guiding me or guiding us. Amen? I can't believe it's been 6 weeks, but that's what my paper says. We're on chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And I'm going to read the theme verse that I was given by God for you and me to as we go through this letter. A very powerful letter from the Apostle Paul, as he was getting older, sharing God's love with anyone who had an ear to hear. And the verse that God gave me for us to kind of embrace this letter is on Psalms 57, verse 2 on you guys' Bible. And I love to share it with you every time I stand in here, because there is a purpose that He's accomplishing for us. A lot of brothers tries to do things on their own. And man, He did it for you and me. Does that mean for us to be lazy and careless? No. We're supposed to be in obedience, especially when we face hardships, which we're going to go through chapter 3. See, in Hebrews, the Bible teaches on 13 that we're not of those who shrink back, but those who push forward. And the Psalms 57, verse 2 says, I call to God, the Most High, to God who is accomplishing His purpose for me. See, He started a job in each one of us, and He's accomplishing His purpose. And I said it from the get-go, a lot of people struggle. I don't know what's my purpose. No, He's going to do it. You just have to trust Him. He has better plans for you, better than your own plans. We just need to follow. Amen. See, we're to be like Samuel. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. See, that's where we need to stand. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for today, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will open our ears and the eyes of our hearts to see and hear what you're going to say to us today as we go through this chapter, Father. Help us to stand on the rock. Help us not to be stumbling on that stone any longer, God. But help us to stand on the rock of our salvation. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. I'm going to really, really read chapter 3 from 1 to 12, and then we're going to start in 13, okay, so we can stay with the contents. Because when we read the Bible, we need to stay in the contents. Amen. So chapter 3, as a lot of people explain when we go through these verses, it's not about who has more power or who is better than nobody. It's an equality that God brought to all of us to look at the world in such a way to honor one another and love one another. Amen. It says in here, verse 1 says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they might be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. And instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is a great worth in God's eye. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever will love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. We're going to stop in there, and we're going to stay in the contents, because I want you guys to hear from the get-go. The Word of God is always going to lead us to understand one thing, that he's accomplishing a purpose in you and in me. And we had to look at the scriptures in such a way. I was telling some brothers yesterday, the Word of God is for, if you don't mind, okay, it's for three realms. It's applicable. For this realm that we live in, although we're on the earth, right, on this world, we're not of the world. And there is a word for us to speak into existence, that just the way that God did it, and the stars came to be, and the planets came to be. He's inviting us to choose our words, or how we treat one another, how we behave with one another, how we're representing. See, we're supposed to be representatives of the gospel of Jesus. That's what we have received from the beginning. That message of salvation, redemption, and forgiveness. Peace, pursue it. Love one another. Respect one another. So be submissive to one another. There is just a win-win when we do that. Instead of being, you know, fighting, and like the Apostle James says on his letter, where is arguments and quarrels come from, if not from the desires of your flesh? Because somebody wants to have the last word. Somebody wants to be the star of the show. Somebody wants to receive recognition. Or look how much wisdom this person has, or how beautiful that person teaches. You honor your brothers. You keep them in high esteem. See, you're supposed to build up each other. Amen. Iron sharpening an iron. Amen. Helping each other to not be stumbling no more, or causing others to stumble. Because woe to the man who causes one of my little ones to stumble. It would be better for him not to even be born. That's how deeply is the calling that we have to be representatives. It's not just for the pastors, brothers. It's for every believer. To represent the glory of God, that you're walking with him. My goodness, listen, I was telling Matt a couple of weeks ago, there is always a pre-thing, like a preschool before you enter into school, if you don't mind. There is always the presence of God. Because without the pre is the essence of God. Every human being on earth is present on the presence of God. Whether they believe or do not believe, every human, every creation under heaven is in the presence of the Most High God. The God that I shall read to you in Psalms 57. The Most High God, who is accomplishing a purpose for you and me. Every human being are in his presence, and therefore we are to see his essence of God. Because on the presence you already are. We are. But there is an invitation on the scriptures for us to go deeper into his essence. I was telling some brothers, the deeper that you go in the water, the faster that you die to yourself. The faster that you're going to run out of air. And the faster you're going to cry out like Jonah, Lord, because the wind was already to his throat. Save me. And the Lord heard his prayer. What I just read to you on 1 Peter. The Lord is attentive to the prayers of the righteous. And the righteousness that we have received, it was not earned. You're righteous because for what he has done on the cross. Amen. He died on the cross for the sins, and then he was resurrected for our hope. There is two things that we're supposed to speak of. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's where our hope is. I cannot just speak of his death. Because he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Amen, see, he was resurrected on the third day. Without disregarding the work that he did on the cross, but the amazing thing that he did not lose his life. He gave it. Because he had the power to raise it back up. And the same power that God exerted on him by resurrecting him, you have it. It has been given to us. So we are carriers of the word of life, not of the word of condemnations and sending people to hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're carriers of the glory, the most high God. The God who gave you grace and abundance. For he came full of grace and of truth. That's what the Bible teaches. First grace came and grace was given to us, which allows us to be in his presence. And that through that grace, now we're looking for the essence of God. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper to have a relationship with him. That's why I told you guys, Peter now is old and he's going to call you friends. I cannot call you my servants no more. That's what Jesus teaches on John to the disciples. See, we came first to salvation, to grace, by a simple confession of faith. And grace was given to us. You couldn't earn grace. It's a gift from God. And then you became a disciple of Jesus. You became a student of the word. Psalms 119 verse 105. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, thy word, we became students of his word. And you know what the Bible says? In his word became flesh. And was, you know, we suffered with him. He was among us. And the same word says in there, came full of grace and of truth. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's the message that was given to us. Not to present like, oh, how knowledgeable this guy is. And I was telling some brothers the other day, I just know one thing, Christ and him crucified. We don't come with this eloquence and this, you know, I have so much knowledge upon the word. The knowledge that we have received, the wisdom we have received was a gift, same as the grace. So therefore, we're equal. Here in America, we're a lot of places now, thank God not, that it's not here the case, but they put the pastor in a pedestal. Hey. I'm the pastor, you know, and we're supposed to be the last one, according to the scripture. When somebody places you on a pedestal, you're supposed to get up and serve that person and wash his feet. You know, get off of that pedestal, man. But I'm not disregarding, brothers. That's why the Bible says to hold him in high esteem, because many of us, we are in the choir room. We're in our knees. We're in tears. We're asking God to help us. Many ones are on the streets. Others are on the valleys. Others are in the mountains. But the Bible is leading us in here. When you go and you stay in His righteousness, He's attentive to your prayer. See, because you're not seeking your glory. You're working for His glory. Amen. Amen. So let's go to the message, chapter 1, 3, 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 13 to 12. Amen. That's how I wanted to introduce the message, because it's important for me to let you guys know the Bible has the power, brothers and sisters, man, to remind us that although many will come against us, we must focus in the one utilizing others to be bad towards us, the believers, to defeat him by the power of the Lord. The Bible teaches you and me that many will come against us, but not to focus on them, but to the one that is utilizing them to be able to defeat him. Because he's been using the same skills to divide the body, to break the circle. He has not changed his tactics, his schemes. He's been using the same one from all the way from Genesis, all the way from heaven when he was kicked out. Pride, I'm better than you. I know more than you. I can preach and teach better than you. That's pride. And that's what the stinky enemy has been using. Using other brothers. See, the Bible teaches us to love the sinner and hate the sin. Never focus on people. People is more important. But when we haven't been perfected, we lack love. See, those ones who has been perfected, they know how to love. I just use the example of the wives. Without fear, you entrust your wife, and you entrust your husband, and you submit to one another. He's not going to fail you. She's not going to fail you. That's what God is trying to teach us on 1 Peter chapter 3. It's something that we have to work upon so that we will not divorce, so that we will not break the circle of unity of the Holy Spirit. It's a very thin line. I want you guys to know that for us to detour. That song that Jordan read today, 25, is one of my preferred ones. For he will cheer sinners on his way. He will teach sinners on his way. Chapter 25 of Psalms. See, he's gonna accomplish his purpose for you in his way, not your way or my way or the highway. Like a lot of leaders do. No, it's not your way. It's not Burger King. Verse 13 says, and who is he who harmed you and if you become followers of Christ? Who is he? It's a question that he throws in there for you and me. It's not your brother or your sister in Christ. It will never be him. It's the one behind that person. And the spiritual realms, I was telling my brother, you need to understand one thing. The word of God is for this realm, for the realm that we can see the space and the stars, and for the third heaven. That's how we're supposed to apply it, which is eternity, on the eternal realm. And we are of that kingdom, or the spiritual kingdom, not of this earth, but on the one above, right within heaven on earth. That's how we're supposed to look at the scriptures. Listen what it says in verse. I'm gonna take you to Revelation. So let's go to Revelation chapter 7. I'm gonna share with you who is the one who wants to do harm to you in the body of Christ. Because it's not people. I want to read it to you. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm going to take you guys to the scripture. You know what? Let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Revelation. Hallelujah. There is a war going on. There's a spiritual war. And the war, listen, man, according to 1 Corinthians, he clothed you. He washed you through his blood. He put the whole armor on you. You don't lack any gift on the spiritual realm. You can know who is the accuser. Accusing the saints. Let's read it. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 7. of Revelation. And war broke out. I'm going to read on the New King James because I like it, okay? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels war against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels against Michael and his angels. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I hear a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God. Day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the dead. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, the three heavens, and you who dwell on them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. He doesn't have much time. He's using other brothers and sisters to have quarrels and fights against one another. And when we're doing that, we're working for him. But we can say we're working for God. We need to be wise. We cannot come against each other. In a house, there is two disobedient, a child who obeys and a child who disobeys, but they both of the same house. The father is the one who was set apart to correct the disobedient child. And your father, my father, your God and my God will do that, accomplishing his purpose for me. He's the one who will teach you these things. You cannot have this because I'm teaching you. You have to go deeper so that you can find what I found. The accuser of the brothers is Satan. Satan in Hebrew means the adversary, your enemy. That's who you were in war against, you and me. Because he left the spirit realm, the heavens, and the heavens that we can see, this, that we call space, came to this earth. And he's making a war. Listen, when I was telling my brother, understand this, brother, when Christ came and put his body in there, he defeated him. He defeated him. And you defeat him. You overcome the evil one. When you are in Christ Jesus, when you came to receive him, there is no power, there is no weapon that will prevail against you. He, you can step on his head now. But if we do the other things, if we start fighting against each other, if we start accusing one another, guess who you're working with or for? He will not possess you, but he will oppress you. He will oppress the church. He will make others to be against each other. Listen, you think that I came to bring peace? So this third, I didn't came to bring peace, but a sword. For a certain time, a father will turn against son and a son against father. And those are the words of Jesus. The message of Jesus is love and peace, forgiveness and redemption of sins. That what he did in the cross was good enough for anyone who believes. All the sins has been forgiven. And you think it's just for you who believe? It's for the sins of the whole world. So that through your walk, through your understanding that grace, man, you were supposed to receive the punishment of God. And because of that grace that he poured unto you, you share that grace with others so that others can receive the same gift that you have received, the same redemption, the same love. Instead of letting the enemy utilize his little darts and throwing that little hook in you, and they start reeling you in to his little games. No, you get off. Get away from me. This tongue and this mouth going to speak the glory and the power of the Most High God. I don't listen to you any longer because I was part of you, but I'm no longer of darkness. I'm the light because he brought me to them. We're going to read it today to his marvelous light. We were enemies of God at one point, sometimes some of us. You know, I'm talking to myself. A lot of people growing the church, I didn't have that. I was very, very bad boy. But he showed me grace. Right? And I love him. And I started, you know that little young man that read the Psalms today? I was praising God when he was reading the Psalms and he got it. I've been begging him, take away your blindfoldness of religion and stand on the love of God. See, religion will always harm people. Religion, you gotta do this, you must do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And yes, we're supposed to, but you cannot put those laws upon people. He will teach them by your example of how you live. They're gonna see you, and when they ask you, I'm gonna read to them, and when they ask you of the hope that you have, you're gonna be ready to give an answer. And you're not gonna take the glory, you're gonna glorify the one who called you out, to call you up. It's not for your glory. It's for his glory. See, we have to take advantage of the opportunities that has been given to you and me. I'm going to read it. Let's go to the scriptures. Thank you. Let's go to verse 14. Just know that one of the purposes that God is accomplishing in us is to learn that our enemy is creating war against us, to be divided. But our Lord wants us to acquire his character in all the circumstances, brothers. That's one of the purposes that God is accomplishing in you and me. Verse 14 reads, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Hallelujah. In this verse, the apostles guided by the Holy Spirit wrote, Kadesh, that is from the root Kadosh. May sanctify, may holy God in your hearts. Listen, Kadosh, he's the one that is holy. Kadesh comes from the same root. He's letting you know that you can do that. He's inviting you for you to sanctify him in your heart. Not that he cannot do it by himself. He's giving you free will so that you can invite him to your heart and says, Kadesh, I'm making you Lord of my heart. I understand that you're Kadosh. I understand that you're the Holy One of Israel. And you have given me this gift. So I'm making you be the ruler of my life. I'm giving you my life. I'm surrendering everything to you. Because without Kadosh, you cannot carry Kadosh. You cannot carry the glory of God. It has to be in your hearts. That's why I love that he got it. Stinky Jordan got it. It's from the heart. See, we can say we love with the mind and with the mouth. But the Lord looks inside. That's why he used the woman on the first chapter. Keeping in the contents. Your beauty is inwardly, not externally, not hourly. The inwardly is your eternal you. The exterior is your temporary you. The serpent will eat dust. I hope you guys get it. This is a tent. He's going to eat it. Because that's what you read in Genesis. From dust you came, to dust you will return. The inside, your true identity, he cannot, according to Romans 8:39. He cannot touch. He can take this one.
But I'm going to receive a new body. No pain, no sickness. Beautiful. Just like the way he is. Just look at the hope that he has given to you and me. But if we are so stinky early, guys, we're looking at this kingdom and we got to do this. And we have to, looking at this, all this what you have in here, according to what I want to read in 1 Peter, it's going to get burned up. He can keep it. We have to look at the inside. Should we disregard the temple of the Lord? Should we not put little flowers in the grass and the drums? No, that's not what the scripture teaches. We're getting ready for what we're going to do for an eternity. Glory to God. Listen what it says in there. If you suffer for a little while, you count it as a blessing, man. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready. Okay? Always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Not that it's in you. It's not just externally, because you can speak Christian. It's internally. It's in you. The hope that is in you with meekness and reverence. So you cannot think that you're all that with tobacco chips. Meekness. So humble. So needed. I need you, Jesus. Even with everything that I have learned, I have studied upon all these years walking with you, I still need him just the way when I was redeemed. I will never forget that day when I came to that church and I said, Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me, for I am a sinner. Today, I give you my life. I invite you to come into my heart and dwell in me. And I stay on that day. In that same minute, I was not ashamed of hundreds of people that were in the church. I was on the altar broken. Why? Because I got so much reverence unto God that day. The first sign of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's why you come in and said, Lord, I don't want to do things according to my understanding, but according to your message, God. Please help me. Do not take the Holy Spirit away from me. But remind me, make a soft and heart in me, a pure heart. Please, Lord. And I know the only way the only person that can pure make your heart of stone into pure of flesh is him. He will break you so that he can make you. Some people says, Yes. Another of the purpose of God is for us to understand, learn, and overcome the evil one, brothers and sisters, by catching him in his craftiness and love those who he utilizes to try to break us apart from the unity of the Holy Spirit in the church. You have to recognize them. And you cannot kick them off. The Bible says to disregard them as your brother. But utilize the gift of an evangelist, which is bringing him back to the good word. It's not I'm not supposed to hang with sinners and prostitutes and those ones who... That's not what the Bible teaches. Drunkards. The Bible teaches the opposite of that. To some people, God's gonna use you. How many times the Lord said, I just wanna call Jesus, okay? If a brother comes and say, I'm sorry, I have sinned against you. How many times you gonna forgive him? 70 times 70.
They should be forgiven when they come.
You see that? It's the teachings of Jesus for you to be renewed in your mind. Not to wait for them to come to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. It's inwardly. Before they even come, you're just going to be like, God, what are you talking about? Amen. I don't remember that. That's what he does to us. You come and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgive. And he's like, what?
You know what he did in the cross? It was paid off. I don't even remember your sin no more. According to the scripture, as far as the east from the west, he extended his arms just to love you and me. Let me take you to Jude. Let's go to Jude, the last verses of Jude. See, because you have to be meek and reverence to God. Yeah, Jude chapter 1, we're going to read verse 20 to 23. Yes, this is so beautiful. And I'm speaking of God's love, but listen what Jude says. This is the brother of Jesus, all right? He says on verse 20, he says, "But you, hallelujah. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Verse 21 is deep as you can imagine. See, the Bible teaches us a message of love, a message of redemption, a message of forgiveness. That's what I have heard from the beginning. And the Bible, John the Apostle says, keep that. That's what you hear from the beginning. Stay in that. Don't become all howdy. I know everything and I can discern all the oracles of God and I can prophesy and speak in tongues. I can even give all my means to the poor and I can even offer my own life. But if Christ is not in it, I'm just a resounding gong, a resounding symbol, just repeating what other pastor says. It's nothing new. Rabbi so-and-so said, and Rabbi so-and-so said. That's how they used to do the religious of the law back then. And today's time, it's still the same thing. That's what Memo says. That's what Ma says. This is what the Lord says. All the prophets of old, for this is what the Lord God says. That way we need to stand. And that teaching still stands today. Why? Because the prophets were seeking the essence of God. They knew that they were in the presence of God. But they were seeking the essence of God. I'm seeking the essence of God. So I can tell you, this is what the Lord says. This is not what Memo says. This is what the Lord says. This is what the scripture says. And that scripture is always full of love. Building each other up. Listen, I'm going to read to you 21 again. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy. Be merciful. Be holy. Be kadosh. Because your heavenly Father is holy. Of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. You have to test all the spirits. If it is like now with the message of redemption and forgiveness, listen to it. But if it is to condemn one another, please don't take it. Don't think yourself higher than others. With all meekness, humble yourself before your God and my God. That's what the Bible teaches. Because their sin is not greater than yours. And your sin is not greater than theirs. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter how you want to clothe it. How you want to address it. Sin is sin. That's why I mentioned meekness and fear. That's what the Bible teaches. You're not better than nobody. We're equal. Verse 23 says, but
I have to go to my other page.
But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Not the sinner. The sin. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Hating even that what is clothing him. That what is keeping him. Who is the one who is accusing the brothers? I just read it to you in Revelation 12. And he's been using the same tactics. The same strategies. He hasn't changed them. So we have to catch him in his craftiness. So that we do not fight against each other. So that we are united with one another. Listen. And I was sharing with some brothers on Saturday, through Friday, whatever that was. Lord, there is another one over there on the ravine. And he's baptizing, and many are coming to him to be baptized by him. Because they thought they were, you know, the clique. They were told by the guy who was baptizing them and was doing all these things that there is another one coming. That I'm not worthy. One time he sent us. Before he was incarcerated, he was still doing his mission. That's the beauty that I love about John the Baptist. To this very day, he did not shrink back. He did not lose his life to the dead. He was submissive unto God with everything, even losing his own life, because he understood what we know now. Those who keep their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will save it. Powers. And the Lord said to the disciples, if they're not against us, they're for us. How beautiful message. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say, you know what, this and that. He didn't explain nothing else. He just says, if they're not against us, they're for us. But we, with so much knowledge, we rush our feet to spill innocent blood. Because on that cross, he made everyone innocent. That's how deep it goes. A lot of people think that's just for the believers. No, the Bible says otherwise. The Apostle Paul says on Philippians, I know, brothers and sisters, that someone has rise up to make my suffering more greater. For some are preaching out of self-recognition, and others out of love. But what is it to me? As long as they preach in the gospel, I'm good. See, Paul the Apostle knew that the power of God is in the word that is unto salvation for those who believe, that receive the faith. And that's the message that he was preaching. He didn't care about those guys who were making, you know, the name of God be blasphemed among the believers. I just read to you how you got it, how we're supposed to got it. Be compassionate, keeping in the love of God, be merciful. Understand the gospel of Jesus. That's the message. He is love. Because he first loved us. That's what was given to us. The kingdom of God was given to us. So that you could be a good steward. And use your talents and your gifts to glorify God. I have 1 minute. Let me take you to Romans 1:5. Romans 9. Jeez. I like this verse because, oh my goodness. You know, I identify myself with this guy a lot, so I'm going to read it and I'm going to go fast because I'm running out of time. Romans 9, verse 1 to 5. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoptions, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Look at the compassion of my brother. I can put myself in the risk of being accursed from Christ. So that my brothers, the believers and the non-believers, could come to the same grace given to me. That's how deep the love of God is for somebody who wants to live for Christ, who wants to stand on the righteousness of God, and who wants to keep the peace and pursue it. That's how deep this goes. Verse 16 of 1 Peter says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ might be ashamed. I offer myself like that. I point myself out so that, listen, when somebody comes, I give you guys the formula of who is the one coming against you. Because my Bible said that every brother will not be ashamed. See, he's speaking early, the three realms, if you don't mind, so that we can learn, so that we can understand the message, who is coming against us. Listen what he says here. Having a good conscience, I understand the Gospels, that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ might be ashamed. For if it is better, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If it is the Lord's will. Okay, I'm going to offer myself. I'm going to show you the love of God. You guys can insult us as much as you guys want. We have big shoulders to carry our cross. I'm drinking that cup. I'm carrying my cross every day. So that when somebody asks me of the hope that I have, I give an answer to people. See, that's what the Bible teaches. Stay in the contents. I read to you really fast Romans 3, 1 to 4. If you guys want to go, fine. I'm a minute over, but I'm going to try to go faster, right? I only have a few more verses and then I'll stop. But Romans 3, verse 1 to 4. Just remember that God will never be caught by surprise by your sufferings and your illness and your sickness. He allows it to bring a purpose, to testify according to what I read to you on Revelation 12. You overcame by the sacrifice of Christ and the testimony. Your testimony. His testimony. Listen what it says Romans 3, 1 to 4 says, what advantage then is there to being a believer, a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. God doesn't look at you the way that we look at each other. Not at all. He does not delight on the death of the wicked, but rejoices on the death of the saints. Listen what it says in here. Let God be true, and every human a liar. As it is written, so that you might be proved right when you speak, and prevail when you judge. So as he starts speaking, we can see the goodness of God. And when he judged all the matters, he's right. He's the only one righteous. Let's go to 1 Peter verse 18. He says, for Christ also suffered once for sins. Amen? For Christ also suffered once for sins. There is no more sacrifices for sins. He did it once and for all. Listen what he says here. The just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. We leave those deeds of the dead and we come into Christ in the spirit. We are of the spiritual realm, not of this realm. Everybody can keep their dollar in their church and their quarter and their titles and everything. I'm going over there where there is none of that. Verse 19 says, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared for 70 years, you guys.
He was preaching righteousness. In which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an anti-type which now saves us baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That's why I took you to Romans. I'm not lying. This is a good conscience. This is what the Bible teaches. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Everything according to the scriptures is through him and for him. So even when you're going through things, even when a brother or sister is coming against you, even when you're suffering because it was his will for you to suffer, even in all circumstances, you come to Jesus and you say to God, thank you, God. I don't understand what you're accomplishing in here, but I still thank you ahead because I know that you're doing something for me. That's what Jesus, what Job said. But in my heart, I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord takes and the Lord takes away. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. What does that mean? That I'm considering myself everything that I have? Listen, what Jesus Christ, if you do not love me more than your mom and your dad, you're unfit for my service. What does that mean that you're supposed to dishonor your mom and your dad? No! That you're supposed to place in free so that your mom and dad can follow. Or your brother or your sister can follow. That's what Jesus is speaking of. See, he's inviting you to put him first, the center of all things, so that he can bless you and bless me. And that you can be a blessing to others. I pray and hope that you guys, we finish chapter 3, that you guys get a hint on about the suffering. We're going to go a little bit more on chapter 4. But listen, you guys, take it to heart. He's accomplishing a purpose for you and me. And let us speak of the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the message of repentance unto salvation. I cannot break you in pieces and just leave you there bleeding to death. I will be the bad Samaritan. I'd rather take you to the inn and tell the guy in the inn, whatever you spend on him, on my way back, I'll pay you. And take that person in. I hope that you guys get the parable of the good Samaritan. He didn't pay the guy, and the guy took care of the guy, trusting on the word of the guy that on his way back, he was going to pay him. That's why I read to you that he went all the way. For the times of Noah. And preach the good news to the disobedient for the sake of a lot of religious guys and brought them out, set captives free. Hallelujah. And he will do that for you and me. That's the God that we represent, that we do not misrepresent, so that will not happen that happened to Moses, to us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will continue pouring upon us, Father, the word for your testimony. That what you brought to us to speak of, to humble ourselves in reverence and in great fear, to give you all honor and glory. As you continue leading us and teaching us in your way, Father, help us in the things that we lack. Help us to be wise, not upon our own eyes, Lord, but upon the wisdom that has come from you, to judge all matters with a righteous heart, not with an evil heart. I thank you and I praise you and I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.